This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We did it.
We finally broke Maggie Gray. She just could not stand watching me enjoy the fruits of the Philadelphia Eagles, my team, reaching the Super Bowl, staying in the Eagles hotel, running by Saquon Barkley, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata was at the bar last night. It is Eagles heaven, and unfortunately her Buffalo Bills are not here. EJ Stewart is sliding over to the big chair here. It's been great in New Orleans. I was thinking about this, EJ. There are so many ways to get sick,
yep,
like Maggie is right now in New Orleans. There's obviously the partying. There's the rich food. I thought about something else that made me nervous.
Mm.
We went to an alligator farm on Monday.
We did.
And we touched a lot of amphibians and lizards, and
ooh,
there was a lot of weird things in the air. We went into the shed, and he's like, try to breathe through some sort of filter. Like, she easily could have gotten an exotic disease from one of these animals.
Yeah, I thought about that. I also thought about, and this is getting weird because we are in the Eagles Hotel, there is this Eagles flu going around.
Oh, like Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter's apparently sick. We don't know with what, but he is sick. And there's word that maybe other guys are getting sick, too. I wonder if maybe that's what's going around.
That is making me sick. That could be a game
changer
because Jalen Carter is the main – he is the special sauce for the Eagles. You know, one thing, he could disrupt the game up the middle, and then Nolan Smith will run down Patrick Mahomes on the edge. This is my fantasy, of course. That is a big deal because there's going to be such a small – margin of victory here. I expect a really close game because the Chiefs always play a close game.
Yep.
You know, overtime, Super Bowl, the last game against the Eagles basically came down to two or three plays. I think the big play the last time they played was Jalen Hurts' fumble that led to a touchdown for the Chiefs because the Eagles could have crushed them in that game. And there's a great chance, a lot of people are saying, last hour, Devin McCourty said, the Eagles are a more talented team. It doesn't matter against the Chiefs.
It doesn't. I mean, we've seen the Chiefs do this, right, where they face teams like the Ravens last year or the Bills in previous years or the Niners in Super Bowls where you feel like the other team has from 1 to 53 better players. But it does not matter because at the end of the day, their guts, their guile, their ability to face adversity and their ability to come through in the clutch, it usurps that. At the end of the day, they have the best player on the field at all times in Patrick Mahomes.
But I'll tell you one thing. The Eagles have confidence.
Yes,
we've talked to some Eagles.
Yeah.
Like, the Eagles are not caught up in three-peat in history. That doesn't mean they're going to win anything, but I don't think that they are going to come into this game with any less belief than the Chiefs that they can win this game because also their style of play, they're big and physical on their offensive line. I think they can overwhelm the Chiefs. You saw against the Bills. The Bills came out in the second half and just ran it down the Chiefs' throat.
Yep.
It totally worked. We know that the Eagles are going to want to do this. On the other hand, I talked to a guy who's betting the Chiefs who said Steve Spagnuolo the defensive coordinator, is going to cook up something that is going to stymie Nick Sirianni. And I'm like, yeah, well, that reads. I have no problem with that piece of analysis.
Yep, that math is math.
Yeah. Let me see. Steve Spagnuolo, Nick Sirianni, and I've been supporting Nick Sirianni. I think he's kind of underrated as a good coach because he's a bit eccentric. But Spagnuolo on the defensive side, we've seen it so many times at the Super Bowl. Why would we come into this game on Sunday and think that he's not going to cook up something?
I know. That's the difference in this game, right, is the Eagles' offense. So many weapons. Saquon Barkley, MVP caliber year. But they have a defensive coordinator who knows how to win this game.
Yeah, this
maybe
game.
Maybe more so than maybe any other defense coordinator. Maybe it's that Belichick, maybe, like, literally. Like, he knows how to win this game. He knows how to prepare. He uses these 2 weeks. He has his team ready. So he's going to know the Eagles like the back of his hand. And I'm very fascinated by this because the Eagles are a weird team in that you could think that you've bottled up Saquon Barkley and he goes for 80 yards.
Yeah.
This is kind of a unique, to me, a unique challenge. I feel like a lot of other teams they played, maybe Christian McCaffrey was kind of like that last year, but most of these Super Bowls, I feel like they really didn't play players like that, where you could feel like for 55,
why McCaffrey?
Well, that's what I said. That's besides McCaffrey.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Right, besides McCaffrey, maybe. Yeah. You play 55 minutes of the game, you feel like you got this thing locked up, and then Saquon hit two or three in the last 3 minutes. That's how explosive he is. So in some ways with the Eagles, that will always give them a puncher's chance, more than a puncher's chance, because Saquon can have a terrible two or three quarters, and then he could dominate a fourth quarter with 260-yard runs and change the entire landscape of the game.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, the first Niners team they beat did have an explosive run game that the Chiefs shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, that Chiefs defense, I love the Chiefs linebackers. I think they're
awesome.
Completely underrated.
Just,
He's amazing. Yeah. So it's going to be a really interesting matchup. We're psyched to talk to Greg Olsen, of course, who called the last game. Amazing broadcaster. Help us out with all these X's and O's. All right, Greg, you called the game when they played last time. What can you take away from that game that you think will apply to this one?
I think it's actually, you know, pretty fascinating the fact that they'll play each other now twice in 3 years, and it's a lot of familiar faces, right? It's same quarterbacks, same coaches, same head coaches, obviously new coordinators on the side for Philadelphia. But then yet you look at, like, the star power that's been added into the mix, right? Obviously, Saquon Barkley and the seasons he's had. So a lot of the underlying approach to the way each team wants to play is very consistent. Now, they've dressed it up. They have some new pieces, right? Kelsey's no longer the center. Saquon Barkley's now at running back. So there's some obviously some key differences. But how Philadelphia wants to play is still very similar, right? They want to get up. They want to play great defense. They want to play with a lead because they're going to run the ball more than anybody in the league. And traditionally, like, other teams can't play that style game. It's just you can't score any points. Now, on the flip side, the Kansas City approach, I mean, I don't know what else we could say at this point. Like, everything that they've accomplished in spite of how the league is set up to prevent it from happening, you know, they're going to go down as one of the greatest runs in the history of this league and Mahomes. And we could go on and on and on about them. So it's a great matchup. I think Philly's got the best roster in football, and I think Kansas City's the hardest beat. They win the most critical moments of the game. So it's a fascinating matchup.
I rewatched the game the other day on the NFL Network. It was so exciting, but I was thinking, I knew the result. There's something magical about the way Kansas City does it at the end. I know everyone's talking X's and O's and schematics. How do you explain their ability to win close games?
Well, I think it's emphasis, right? I don't think you win 17 one-score games in a row by luck or by chance or because the rules are changed for you or because the officials. Like, those are all just lazy analysis that I think just make people feel better when they're watching greatness. Okay, there's got to be a reason why outside of just because they're really good and because they have great players in critical spots. And, you know, when you look at the critical moments of each game, there's two paths to winning in the NFL. I'm just better than you, and I'm going to win more plays than I lose, and I'm just going to overwhelm you, and I'm going to win. That's the most straightforward. That's the most logical approach. But in Kansas City's approach is they might lose more plays than you on any given game. They might lose more than they win, but they win the weighted plays. They win the plays that have more critical impact on the game. When it's third and short inside the five, and it's do I come away with seven or do I got to settle for a field goal, they have the right play for a touchdown. When they've got to get a defensive stop on third down and third and pass, Spags dials up the unblocked pressure to take you down to force you to punt. Or we got to, you know, the AFC Championship is the perfect example. They've got a lead there at the end of the game after they get to stop. And they got third and medium. A lot of teams are saying, we're not going to throw the ball, risk incomplete. We're borderline field goal range. They have the perfect play. They run a little mesh to the back in the left flat. They throw him the ball. First down, kneel the game out, and Josh Allen never touches the ball. It's like those got-to-have-it moments. They practice. They stress. It helps that you have generationally good players. Like, that's the formula for what makes them so hard. If it's a close game, they just win the most invaluable plays of the matchup, and it's just hard to overcome it.
Multi-time Pro Bowler Greg Olson here with us on behalf of DraftKings. You're a talent ambassador. We like this promo. DraftKings is offering all customers a touchdown bet match. You opt in, you place any touchdown bet, you receive a bonus bet equal to the original stake.
Well, we had a debate this week. If Travis Kelce wins and three-peats, is he unquestionably the greatest tight end to ever play?
I think he is. I think when you factor in the individual accomplishments, the longevity, the production over time, I hate even mentioning this, but like he plays every game. His postseason stats, I mean, forget what he's done in the regular season. I think he ended up losing his streak the last 2 years, but he was like 1,000 yards in a row seasons. But then in the postseason, I think he's like second best ever behind Jerry Rice. I mean, we're talking like historic companies. So when you factor in regular season, postseason, Super Bowls, yeah, I do. And I never in a million years would have thought, right? The closest one who I always thought got to Tony Gonzalez was Gronk. Similar to Tony, you know, similar to Travis and what he's accomplished, the wins, the legacy, the dynasty type team he was on. But I don't know how you argue against what Travis has done for the length of time he's done it. The regular season and postseason impact. It's hard for me to sit here and believe it. I never thought anyone would pass Tony, but I think he does. I don't know if he's ever going to retire. It just feels like he could just keep doing this forever and then make the playoffs and just go off on everybody. It's been a pretty unique stretch for him.
Greg Olson is joining us on behalf of DraftKings. Okay, this was an interesting one. Away from this game for a second, because one of your former teammates was in the news, ruffled a few feathers, and that's quarterback Cam Newton has a way of doing that, where he said that he wouldn't have traded his MVP for a Super Bowl. Now, you played on that Carolina Panthers team that got so close and came up short against the Denver Broncos. How did you take that as a teammate?
I think the perception around, I can understand why people were kind of all kind of in a tizzy. I think those of us that knew Cam can like interpret Cam's intentions and kind of understand what he's saying. I think Cam's point that he was trying to make, and I'm actually going to see him later, so I might ask him. I think the point he was trying to make is there's a lot of people that have won Super Bowls. Winning a Super Bowl, being a Super Bowl winner, of course, is valuable. It's everybody's dream. But there's a lot of ways that you can be a Super Bowl winner. You can be the impactful MVP quarterback, or you could just be on the team and still get the ring. So, like, that's where the gray area of Super Bowl champion designations, everyone's role in reaching that is very different. There's a wide spectrum. I think Cam's point was my impact on the game, the way it's played, the level in which I played, the energy in which I brought to our team, that the impact that I made, which is emblematic of winning the MVP, goes farther beyond than me being tagged an MVP quarterback. Now, if you ask Cam that question in a different way and said, hey, if that season you had the exact same season, you throw for the exact same touchdowns, but Lamar, it's today, and you're Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, right? Where both of them have had MVP seasons.
Right.
Only one's going to win. If you ask the other one, would you rather have your exact season and win the Super Bowl and let the other guy have the MVP? Cam's saying yes 100% of the time. So I think Cam's point was, I don't want to be an irrelevant player that was just along for the ride to get a Super Bowl. I want to be an MVP level player. And then if I get the Super Bowl, like, I know I had the role. I think that's the point he's trying to make. And that point, I get it.
I know you said you want to get back to calling Super Bowls and everyone wants you back there. Do you think that will be with Fox?
I don't know. I obviously a lot of that is out of my control. And, you know, I know last week I was doing like a charity thing for my foundation, and obviously I get these questions, and it kind of blew up into a bigger story than maybe I intended it to be. So
yeah, you said you held a little resentment about being moved off the number one team.
Yeah, which I didn't say. He asked me,
yeah,
do you hold any resentment? I said, I don't think that's the right word for it. And so anyway, we all know how this game works.
Yes.
I've been very clear with my approach towards all of this. My desires and aspirations to continue to pursue this at a high level and call top games and call Super Bowls and playoff games and all that is completely independent of my relationship with Tom, Kevin Burkhart, Fox, and all of those people. I have no personal animosities or conflict with any of them. I've gotten to know Tom over the last 6-8 months. We have a very good relationship. We talk often. We just talked on the phone a week ago. Like, this notion that I root against him or this notion that I can't watch games he broadcasts is not true. When I watch playoff games, do I wish I was calling the game? Of course. When I'm watching the Super Bowl, do I wish I was calling the Super Bowl? Of course. But that is a very separate conversation from I wish ill will, I wish failure, I wish towards Fox because I don't at all have those feelings. Fox has been great to me. They gave me my first opportunity to even call games fresh out of the league. So, like, I just want to make sure I'm very clear with that because, yes, I'm going to continue to pursue this to call great games. At Fox, not. I don't know how that's going to work out. Obviously, if Tom does this for 20 years, the answer is very simple. So I don't know how all that's going to shake out. I'm going to continue to pursue this at a high level because I think I can, because I enjoy it. I love learning the game. And how the rest of the moving pieces sort out, we'll see.
Greg Olson, on behalf of DraftKings, enjoy the game.
We appreciate you explaining
the game to us in a way we can understand when we're watching. Thank you so much, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
Man, he is really, really good. Hopefully someday he'll get to call a Super Bowl again. Hopefully my Eagles will also be in that Super Bowl. Is that to ask too much for?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, you guys, how many Super Bowls have you guys been in the last few years? Like, the Eagles are like a, I don't want to say a dynasty, but they're a quote-unquote model franchise, which, you know, is kind of bizarre to say.
Perennial NFC champions.
You know, another theme that's emerged this week, it's like tight end you here. For some reason, yeah. Kelce has a chance to really become, in many ways, the greatest tight end ever. And Greg Olsen's a big part of that tight end community. That is a community I want to be part of. They're not wide receivers. They're not linemen. They're the coolest guys. I'm sorry, that is now the coolest position.
I agree. Yeah, and I think that there are some guys coming out of this year's draft that are going to be great, too. They're going to add to the talent. So,
oh, you're, you know, Miami guy?
I got Elijah Arroyo. How about Ty Warren? Like, I think we got some just dogs coming out of this draft.
And so, Brock Bowers last year.
Yeah, exactly. Brock Bowers was an absolute stud. I wanted the Jets to get him, and, of course, they screwed that up. Thanks, Joe Douglas. But, no, they got there. That's an awesome position.
Well, my favorite position used to be safety because hard-hitting safeties, when the NFL allowed safeties to clobber people. Brian Dawkins was here. I'm telling you right now, he could suit up for the Eagles. I bet you
he looks awesome.
I bet you he's in that locker room at some point.
Definitely.
I've seen video of Brian Dawkins hyping guys. We've interviewed him a couple times, and even just doing a normal interview, you get like, all right, I'm ready to go out and hit somebody. And trust me, I can't hit anybody, but Brian Dawkins is awesome. Speaking of, our next guest also has that effect on people. Actually, they want to hit him more. We're going to talk to a gigantic pro wrestling star, one of our absolute favorites, Seth Rollins. We'll be on set. That's next, right here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We meet a lot of people here at Super Bowl Radio Row, and they're all very friendly, and you don't know what to believe or not to believe. But I got to tell you, and I apologize, Maggie is off today, but we got to talk to one of our favorites, and I think this man genuinely likes me, believe it or not, even though we are quite opposite in many ways. And, of course, that is WWE superstar Seth Rollins. So great to see him. All right, the Elimination Chamber takes place Saturday, March 1st at Rogers Center. Tickets available at Ticketmaster. Seth, this is becoming a yearly chat at Radio Row. You've been so busy.
You know, I wish it was more than annual. I want it to be like biannual, triannual. I feel like we need to soup this up a little bit. I really enjoy coming to see you guys and talk to you. So love to do it more often.
Yeah, got to come downtown New York City. I'm sure you're in New York once in a while.
Oh, every once in a while.
Are you a New York guy, though? Do you like the hustle and bustle in New York City?
So if I'm in it, once I'm in, I'm okay with it. But my history in New York is always we're in, we're out. And the worst part of New York City is getting in and out of it. You know what I'm saying?
So
most of my experience is just like driving in, yelling at people honking at you the whole time. And then you get to, you know, for us, we were at the Garden all the time. We get there, we're trying to park, people are trying to accost us. It's a whole ordeal. And then you're just trying to get out, and that's a disaster because you get traffic at 4 a.m. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
I know, you might as well just get a Sbarro slice of pizza and call it a day. You haven't even seen New York.
But once I'm in, man, you know, the life, the people, it's that part I love. Yeah. That part I love. My wife's always like, we should look at a place there. I'm like, let's pump the brakes a little bit, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we're talking about Seth Rollins, your wife, Becky Lynch, and we'll ask about her in a second because we haven't seen her in a little bit because you guys have a baby and your parents and you have a lot of things, very important things going on. We mentioned you're a Bears fan. We'll get to the wrestling stuff in a minute, but I mean, this has got to be a time of optimism for you, right?
Yeah, it's the off season. That's the Bears. That's the Bears' history. We're excited in the off season. This is our time to shine. High draft picks and cool signings and all this stuff. But you know, to jump on that, yeah, I mean, this does feel different. And no offense to Matt Eberflus, when we hired him a few seasons ago, there wasn't a lot of excitement in the city. People were mostly concerned with, are we pronouncing his name?
Yeah,
you know, who is this guy? Where did he come from? Why did we hire him? Are we getting his name right? This year, everybody knows who Ben Johnson is. He's the bell of the ball in the offseason. Shocked the McCaskey family wrote the check, to be honest with you, because we're not they don't do that. They don't do that when it comes to their coaches. So we got guys in the right place. I'm very excited about the Dennis Allen hire as well, as DC guy with head coaching experience to come in and kind of accent with Ben Johnson. So, I mean, I'm excited. But like I said, as a Bears fan in the offseason, we're always excited about potential. Now we got to go out there and win games.
Seth freaking Rollins is here with us. We should mention Saturday, March 1st, Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
That's going to be in Toronto. You're just coming off of the Royal Rumble.
Oof.
Took a beating there at the end. And doled out one, too,
I doled out a beating, yeah. I was the one doing the beating after I had been beaten. Yeah, you know what? Emotions will get the best of you sometimes. And so the Rumble, this is a great season for us. It's the end of the football season, but for us, it's WrestleMania season.
Yep.
We are building to the biggest show of the year in Vegas in April. Elimination Chamber, you mentioned, and I call it Sky Dome. I know it's Rogers Center. I call it Sky Dome.
It'll always be Sky Dome.
Huge, huge event there, and it is basically the last stop on the road to WrestleMania. Unless you include, you know, Raw on Netflix and SmackDown on USA. But this is the big premium live event. It's inside this massive cage, the Elimination Chamber. It's really scary, kind of. I've never won the Elimination Chamber match. I have to qualify to get in. I have a match on Raw in a couple weeks. Once I get in there, hopefully I can, you know, it's John Cena's last Elimination Chamber. CM Punk's qualified to be in there. So I would love to be a part of that and kind of punch my ticket to WrestleMania.
As we said, that's going to be March 1st, Saturday, March 1st. You mentioned CM Punk, so let's talk about CM
Punk. Talk about
him. Because this has been pretty epic. I mean, listen, you guys match up so well together, you know, and you put on these incredible performances. But Seth, at times, this stuff gets really personal between you two. And it's funny because we've gotten a chance to interview Punk when he did take his hiatus, you know, from WWE.
Oh,
and
you
bring in, like, oh, yeah, after he did the podcast, he did a whole media tour blasting all of you guys.
Yes.
I mean, he was.
Yes, there's no way around it. Yeah, and
now he's back, and you guys are really leaning into that.
I mean, that's the beauty of what we do, right? And we don't have to pull punches. We can get it all out there. It's almost like a therapy session on live TV because there's a lot of history, personal history there between me and CM Punk. And, you know, different perspectives, right? He's on a different side of it, and he's 10 years older than I am, almost. He sees our relationship a lot different than I did. And so it's been very interesting to kind of lay all of this out to the world because I think people see it from both sides, you know, especially as someone who might be a fan of CM Punk. They root for him. They wanted him to come back. They longed for him to come back to WWE. But then you start to hear the side of the people who he sort of stepped on along the way with no apologies and no remorse. And you start to hear that and you start to ask questions about, you know, whose side am I really on here? Who is the good guy? Who is the bad guy in this? And I think that's what makes it interesting. But, yeah, for me, it's been an interesting time, an interesting year to be able to kind of lay all that out, this stuff that I've kept inside for a long time. You'd see it pop out here and there in little interviews. But now to finally get a microphone and just be able to unload on the guy. I mean, the truth is the truth, and sometimes it hurts.
So we were at WrestleMania in Philadelphia.
At Philly, my hometown represented so well.
Great.
I mean, that
I felt so bad for you guys. Night one was freezing cold.
Oh, yeah. We were in wrestling singlets, Seth, because we were paying off a bet.
Oh, were you both, for the first night? Night
no.
one, you were? Oh, okay.
No, our producer, EJ, and Maggie.
EJ. Perloff was dressed as Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I had a kilt.
Proper. Well, yeah. Kilt still freezing. It was cold. Night one was
so cold.
Night two is a lot better. But yeah, the crowd was amazing both nights.
You're in the ring with The Rock, who, you know, came back, and it was such a big deal. I know I'm taking us back a little bit, and I know we want to look forward, but, you know, did you feel like he could still do, like, a full schedule? Like, how did you find, you know, wrestling against The Rock?
Yeah, you know, I think you do. You get in there one time, and you might think that you can do a full schedule, but I don't know that it's as easy as it looks. I think you get in there, and you do one, and you go, okay, I think I could do this, you know, but... You know, he's smart enough to know that's not his day of doing it full time has come and gone. Do I think he could get in there and do one more or a couple more? Absolutely. He was in prime condition. He was ready to go. He was a game opponent. And for a guy that hadn't done it in 10 years, that's really hard. You know, it is like riding a bike, but it's not like one time. Like, you need to get in there and get your reps in to get your kind of mind where it's at. He was an incredible performer that night. He was able to just kind of slip back into it. It was an honor for me to be in the ring with him. You know, that's a guy who's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the legends of our business. He's on the board of directors now as well, so he's continuing to help that side of the business. But yeah, it was a fun ride, and getting to be in there and stomp the crap out of the Rock was a lot of fun.
You know, bucket list.
Not to put pressure on you, but Vegas, I mean, that's got to, you got to be big. You got to bring it for Vegas. I think we were in Vegas last year. Do you feel like that's going to be a really special atmosphere?
I mean, it's going to be electric. The cool thing about Vegas, you go to Vegas, the intent is to let loose.
Right.
And so, it's like here in New Orleans.
Exactly, right? Same type of vibe. And so I think it's going to be an extremely special event because WrestleMania is the melting pot, right?
Yeah.
Everybody comes from all over the world to see this event for two nights in April. So, and we're always trying to, you know, outdo ourselves. So WrestleMania 40 was the biggest WrestleMania of all time. WrestleMania 41, I think, already... I don't want to give too much away, but it's looking like it's going to be even bigger.
Seth, last one for you. Sorry. Your wife, Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
So kind of a free agent right now, doing the mom thing. Can we expect her back at some point?
Yeah. You know, I don't think she's seen her last time in a ring. It's not even the mom thing, really. She had some projects come up outside of professional wrestling that she wanted to do last year. And she was able to take the time to be able to do that, which is fantastic. She's got a couple things in the works. I think they've both been announced, so we can talk about them. She's doing like a Star Trek television show, which will be on Paramount Plus sometime in the next year or two. Wow. And then Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh, yes.
Which is rad, right?
That's so cool.
So Happy Gilmore. I mean, she's Irish, so she doesn't have like a dog in the fight when it comes to like 90s Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah.
But for me, Happy Gilmore was like up there. Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore were like 1-2 for me. So for her to get this role and to work with Adam and his crew and all of those people, I mean, it's really, really cool.
Wait, you know Perloff's been in like four Sandler movies.
Four Sandler movies.
One speaky part. Yeah, my
He's
old boss.
He's an hustle. Reporter number two.
Yeah, my old boss, Dan Patrick, has been in 23 of them. If you watch any movie, Dan shows up in a
movie.
But you'll be proud of us. We did a tour of a gator farm this week.
Yes, Monday.
Nice.
On Monday. And I'm thinking of Happy Gilmore.
Of course.
Our guide only had one thumb on one hand.
Chubb style.
Much like Chubb style.
Yeah.
So we were willing to risk our hand. We were going to come out of there like Chubbs.
Get you a wooden hand.
Yeah.
So I don't know what role the wooden hand or Chubbs plays in Happy Gilmore 2, but when I was on set, I saw like a stage hand, like a guy like walking gingerly with the Chubbs hand.
No!
It's somehow involved.
Wow.
It was like a relic from the past. I don't know what they're doing with it. I have no idea. Maybe it was just there for good luck on set. It might not even make the movie. I have no clue. But I saw the Chubbs hand, and I was like,
What if, is that like the Stanley Cup?
Can you not touch it? Yeah, you can't even look at it. Yeah, bad luck.
That thing belongs in the Smithsonian.
Exactly. It was beautiful. So she's awesome. I foresee her making a return to the ring at some point. Don't know when. But yeah, she was out working. She was mom. I mean, Mommin is working too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Mommin is working too.
Tell us about it.
But yeah, she was hustling, man. We spent a couple months on the road, New Jersey, Toronto, doing those shoots. So she's been working. So we'll see the fruits of that labor sometime soon. But she's the best, and she'll be back.
Fantastic.
Cool.
We love to hear that because she's one of our favorites, as are you. Seth freaking Rollins, again, Saturday, March 1st, Elimination Chamber at the Rogers Center. Tickets available now at Ticketmaster. And then we go to WrestleMania, April 19th and 20th in Las Vegas. Thank you, Seth.
Thank you, guys.
All right, EJ. We got to get to Vegas, baby.
I know.
We WrestleMania.
Birthday, too. My birthday is 21st, so it's 2 days before.
Yeah, and it would be so awesome if we got out to Vegas and we got to see, I don't know, Dave Matthews Band in the Sphere or something awesome like that. Because I love going to concerts without Andrew Bogus. It's one of my favorite things.
Thanks, Jerks. Headlines.
Hey, folks.
Yeah, great.
I didn't know this mic was on.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were there. I didn't see you.
No, that's fine. That's how it normally goes. Headlines. We'll tune you out now. Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Yeah, we'll just wave and I'm done talking. Do whatever, go about your business. Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. It's the upset they can't get on the field. Josh Allen voted NFL MVP, with most assuming Lamar Jackson was going to win his third since he easily beat Allen for all pro honors. Allen thanked basically everybody in Bills Mafia except Maggie last night.
It takes everybody from the equipment staff to the training room to the strength staff to Slick Rick in the mailroom to the cafeteria upstairs. Like, it truly takes everybody to have team success, and I'm so fortunate to be a part of a great organization.
Slick Rick in the mailroom and Marge in the calf got mentioned, but not Maggie Gray.
Not Maggie at 3, 4, 5.
Oof. Wait, so she's not talking about Rick the Ruler, right? The rapper? That's why I heard Slick Rick. I was like,
Benny the
Once
Butcher
upon
as well.
Not long ago.
Yeah. No, Treadmill Maggie, not mentioned by Josh Allen, who got 27 first-place votes, 4 more than Lamar. Saquon Barkley settling for Offensive Player of the Year honors. Broncos corner Patrick Surtain Jr. won on the defensive side. And Jaguars D-lineman Eric Armstead won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award for his work off the field. Only 4 new Hall of Famers this year, the smallest class in 2 decades. Sterling Sharp, Jared Allen, Antonio Gates, and Eric Allen voted into Canton. Not Torrey Holt, not Eli Manning. LeBron James was the youngest to score 40 at 19 years and 88 days, and now he's the oldest.
One-on-one against Buddy Hield. LeBron, three-pointer. Good! Huge three by LeBron, and that could do it. 115 to 106. LeBron has 42 points, 17 rebounds, and 7 assists.
John, all my damn respect to
John Ireland on Lakers Radio. Bron added one more assist before the 120-112 win over the Warriors. LA's now won 4 straight, 10 of 12. But they're not the Blazers. 6 in a row, 10 of 11 for them after downing the Kings 108-102. The Mavs won in Boston 127-120, and the T-Wolves rallied past the Rockets 127-114. Anthony Edwards, 16 of his 41 in the fourth, and Indiana men's basketball coach Mike Woodson expected to step down after the season. The Hoosiers on the verge of missing their second straight NCAA tournament. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, in all reality, I have a new policy when you're doing your updates from Super Bowl Radio Row. Because I only have so many outfits. You've almost made me spit out coffee twice.
Yep.
All right, so that is a compliment. When you said Hunter Dickinson had a triple-double in front of his grandkids at Kansas, I was telling another person about that line the other day. But, yeah, and if I say something nice about you, will you root for the Eagles?
You know what? I kind of am half rooting for them because I want Saquon Barkley to win.
Wow. Really?
You at least have that. I want good things for Saquon on Sunday. That's the most I can give you.
Manny, are you with us too? Are you getting on the Eagles train?
Not even a little bit. No.
No, not even. All right, we tried. All right, thanks, guys. All right, coming up, somebody who is...
No.
So much cooler than me. And that's not a big accomplishment, but this might be the coolest person in all of New Orleans here for Super Bowl week. And that is Fred Warner, Niners linebacker, recently in the Super Bowl, has a lot of insight and also just a great guy. That's coming up next. Maggie and Perloff Show. Back on the Maggie and Perloff Show. We're here at Radio Row, New Orleans, Super Bowl. The town is getting really, really busy. A lot of green. I'm not going to lie. I assume there will be some red showing up. All right, we are lucky enough to talk to somebody who was in this game last year, of course, and that's Fred Warner, San Francisco 49ers linebacker, all-pro, one of the best in the game. All right, Fred, you're familiar with both of the teams in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, how do you prepare for a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's so unorthodox, everything about him. You know, you go throughout the week, you talk about him, and I've played him now several times and obviously in both my Super Bowls. And I think the common theme is, like, you always talk about starting fast in a game. But with Patrick Mahomes and with these Chiefs, it's like, man, we got to finish fast. Like, it has nothing to do about the start, because you see it all the time. Like, Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he's phenomenal, great quarterback. He'll give you opportunities to have interceptions, you know, force a fumble on him, because he's always trying to create, right? But it doesn't matter, because he has such short-term memory where he's like, hey, man, I'll do it again. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he doesn't care. And like, but those moments in the fourth quarter, it seems like he just always prevails by making that one or two play, those key plays in those moments to help his team win the game.
What do you mean by unorthodox? What's he do differently?
You know, it's just because of the fact that won the scheme with Andy Reid, who was just a magician back there, you know, drawing plays in the sand with what they got going. But then the way that he executes the plays with Travis Kelce, you know, they might have something called, but they kind of have this connection between each other where it's like, all right, we had a corner on, like a corner route on, but I'm just going to run a post because there's space in there, and they have that connection to be able to deliver the ball. And Pat's so great at creating and getting out of the pocket, stepping in the pocket. He can make all the throws inside the pocket, or he can go outside and create and run the football, right? So it's like, man, don't hit him, but we want to hit him. Don't get too close to him. Like, he's going to slow down at the sideline, but don't hit him out of bounds. It's like so many things that are so draining to a defense throughout a game.
Fred Warner's joining us, the All-Pro, on behalf of Ascent Protein, which we'll get to. Now, listen, I think you're so talented, I think you could just admit this if it was true. Is there a boogeyman aspect to the Chiefs? Like, you think, oh, they're going to come through? Is that a mental hurdle you guys have to get past?
To be honest, there is a mental part of it, I'm not going to lie, because at the end of the day, there's something to be said. After talking with guys who have been there and won the big game, there's something to be said about having done it before, you know, knowing the recipe to winning that game. And these guys have obviously done it several times now where they know in those moments where, all right, it's crunch time, we have to make the play, we know what it takes. They know they have that recipe, right? And so they're able to deliver. And so as a team that hasn't done it before, hasn't surpassed that, and has to overcome a team that does have that recipe, you have to be so good and so locked in for four quarters, maybe even five quarters, because we went to overtime and we still couldn't get it done, right? So you have to be so locked in for so long. And do you have that mental stamina for an entire game?
How about on the other side of the ball, the Philadelphia Eagles? As a linebacker, what's it like to face a Saquon Barkley when Saquon is as hot as he is right now?
Saquon has always been phenomenal. Like, yes, he's had an extra extraordinary year this year being with Philly. You know, he came in my draft class as a phenom coming out of Penn State, but I think what makes him so dangerous now is being in this system where you have Jalen Hurts, you have him running the zone read RPO, you know, because now you have to not only worry about Saquon, you got to worry about Jalen. You see him pull the ball down and run it for a 40-yard touchdown. It's like, whoa, what the heck? I didn't know Jalen had those wheels on him still. and then he might even pull it and then throw it to A.J. Brown on a slant if you're coming down so worried about on Saquon. He catches a slant for 80 yards and a touchdown. So they have all these levels to their offense that makes them so dangerous. But Saquon, I feel like every week everybody talks about let's stop the run, and they just can't do it.
If we wanted to, we could do a radio show where we come on in the morning and say, Kyle Shanahan, call us at 855-212-4227, and that could be the show 4 hours a day. Yeah. What do we not understand from the outside about Kyle in the biggest moments? Like, what do the public, like, what do we not see?
I mean, you guys don't see every single day when he's having to talk to us in a team meeting, right? I think his leadership style is just, he's just brutally honest in the best way possible, you know, which the players are so, like, they just resonate with. When a guy is so real, there's a lot of coaches in this league who I haven't obviously been a part of because I've only been a part of the best in the game, but who just kind of get up there and they say what they think that you want to hear. And Kyle, he keeps it black and white, you know, and devises the best game plan every week to give us the best chance to win the game. And ultimately, as players, it's our job to go out, execute, and make enough plays to win the game, right? And coaching is so important, but at the end of the day, it's always going to be players on the field who are winning and losing games.
How about Robert Saleh returning? Obviously, you have a great bond with him. What makes Robert Saleh sort of different as a defensive coach?
I think an amazing teacher. You know, I know he had a long journey of getting climbing the ranks to become a defensive coordinator. But when he came in 2017 with the 49ers and then ultimately drafted me, a young buck, in 2018, who had never played Mike linebacker, never played stack off the ball backer, and was like, you know what, I'm going to give you the green dot to call the plays and get them lined up. And I'm like, looking back, I'm like, dude, how did you even do that? How did you have the confidence to give me that that responsibility? But he saw something in me from early on, I guess, and it turned out okay. I'm so happy to have him back, man, because obviously we have that bond, that connection, and it's so great to have him back.
Obviously, you play a physical sport and one of the most physical positions in that sport. So working with Ascent Protein, why did that speak to you?
Yeah, for forever I've been searching for the perfect protein powder, and I was like, man, I feel like it almost feels like I'm having to go through like 1,000 of them before I finally hit Ascent. I'm like, there's no way, you know, that I found it. But ultimately, I'm always looking for not only just the performance side of it to be able to perform at a high level, but the taste. You know, everybody wants to have good tasting protein powder or supplements that you're using. And for them, their chocolate whey protein just spoke to me. You know, it was perfect for me. And you, as a professional athlete, you're also always worrying about, okay, is there no banned substances and that sort of thing. The third-party pet testing that they do takes care of all of that. So no worries there. And I've seen my game just kind of take it to the next level since using them.
Fred, obviously this was a tough season for you guys, so you want to turn the page from that. And it was off-the-field stuff, too, and on the field.
Yeah.
It just kind of felt like things were not aligning for the 49ers. Now you go into next season, clean slate, turn the page. You still have this Brock Purdy issue. You've seen contract stuff kind of linger for this team. Feels like it does. How important is it to for the team to just make the decision whatever way and kind of get it done early?
Yeah, no, I would love for them to get it done early. And I don't think any offseason they go into it thinking like, let's drag this out, right? I mean, that's just the business side of it, you know, and it's something that both sides have to kind of take care of. And as players who are not involved in it, we got to just prepare and make sure that we're ready to go to welcome it with open arms when they do get it done. But, yeah, of course they want to get it done as soon as possible, and hopefully that's the case this offseason.
Do you think Brock Purdy should get paid amongst top quarterbacks
1,000%. 1,000%. And I'm not saying it as a biased teammate of his. I'm saying it as a guy who knows ball, you know, who's seen it up close and personal and wants a guy at that position who's going to give you a chance to win a Super Bowl. And I know Brock Purdy's that guy.
Fred Warner, on behalf of Ascent Protein, the four-time All-Pro and Pro Bowler, of course, and star for the 49ers. Thank you so much. Great to meet you.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
One of my favorite things to do during Super Bowl week on Media Row is to talk to guys when they're promoting some kind of protein powder, and they're like three times the size of me, way more ripped, and be like, all right, how much protein powder do I need to bench press 375 pounds? And their awkward look on their face, because they have to promote the product and say it works, but they know that I can never bench 375 pounds. Although I got to tell you, I famously, as part of Dan Patrick's show, did bench 225 multiple times.
That's impressive.
I used to be able to get some weight up. Now I'm sort of a skinny nerd, but back in the day, I was a slightly less skinny nerd. What's your max, EJ?
Oh, my gosh. I haven't bench pressed in forever. I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
It's probably the mid-hundreds, 200, maybe 200, maybe.
Manny, what can you throw up there?
I'm benching at about 115 right now.
See, this is...
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably be a little... Yeah, I don't even think 180 would give me a break. Yeah, I'm probably 115. Yeah.
What do you mean you're benching 150? Like you're maxing out at 115 pounds?
I just started working out, Perloff. I have no upper body strength. I have the upper body strength of a 10-year-old.
Oh, my God. See, this is what happens. Maggie, unfortunately, is feeling ill today. When she's gone, it just becomes locker room talk.
Yep.
What do you bench? Maggie would be rolling her eyes so hard. But, you know, she's doing great. We were really lucky. One of her friends hooked us up with Chris Stapleton, concert tickets last night. It was a little late for our early wake-up call, yeah. So just caught a taste of it. But he is really popular. Man, and he's so good. EJ, I know you didn't get to stay for it, but he totally commands the mic. Even if you don't like country, like there's something about him.
And by the way, star-studded event, too. I walked in. Emmitt Smith was walking a red carpet. We saw your guy, Peter Schrager, there.
Oh, the whole Fox team was there. Aaron Andrews was there.
Aaron Andrews.
Diana Rossini was right behind me.
Yeah, I think I saw, there's a bunch of people.
Yeah, Teddy Bruschi.
Jamie Erdl, I think, may have been there, too. Yeah, it was a squad out there.
Yeah. Any parties you want to go to? Is there anything you've heard about guys, people you want to see?
Well, apparently last night was the Michael Irvin party. Like my homie, John Michael, he was like, the Michael Irvin party's tonight.
Oh, boy.
And I was like... That you want to talk about guys getting? We talked yesterday, Maggie was like, "Did anybody get in trouble off?" You know, during Super Bowl week, that might have been the beginning of that.
You know, it's one thing to be sick. It's another to go to the Michael Irvin party because you might not get out of prison for a month if going to that thing.
Get your defense lawyer on speed dial.
You know what? Whatever, Manny. One thing, tonight's a Shaq Funhouse party, which is one of the more recent, like, go-to institutional.
Yeah, I want to get to that.
I went to it last year. And
was that the Post Malone thing?
No, that was Shaq. It was Shaq performing. God, then Snoop Dogg came on after him, and there was another big star. Maybe J. Cole was there. Somebody. But because basically I was too close to
that was Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne was there.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was, were you at that concert?
No, but I saw the flyers and I got invited. Yeah. I didn't get to
play. I was a little too close to the stage because I had VIP and I was like, I do not fit. Because Shaq was performing and basically I was by far the oldest person there, by far the worst dancer in the front row of the concert.
Well, to be honest, you probably listened to Shaq's music when he was making music regularly, so you actually fit in.
I did not listen to Shaq's music.
No, I mean by osmosis. I'm not saying you actually bought an album. I'm saying like they probably were playing it in a, I don't know, a Walmart or something.
No, I was
playing it or inside Walmart? The, I don't know, like you know, whatever, the NBC maybe played a little clip.
No, I mean, I was only listening to Kobe Bryant's rap records. Oh. No, God.
Oh, wow.
None of those albums. And by the way, Shaq is a good DJ. I don't know that he could rap, but.
No, he's not a very good rapper, but he's very, sold very well. He's a multi-platinum album.
Yeah. No, I'm going to knock your ass out.
I actually, the other night, watched a documentary on HBO about Shaq, and I forgot that he played in Phoenix at the end. So
the Shaq this era.
NBA trade deadline, it was kind of sad. I hate to say it, these Jimmy Butler, KD, like, it's going to be kind of...
No, this was a great NBA trade deadline. You got the one
I know,
but
some of these old guys, like, were expecting, like, Jimmy Butler to have another run, or they were expecting maybe KD to have another run. It doesn't usually end well. That's reality.
No, that's true.
I mean, not everyone's Tom Brady or LeBron James. All right, but we got to focus on the big game, and we're here in New Orleans, and that means only one guy, Super Bowl champion, Drew Brees, who is Mr. New Orleans, going to break down the game. He has, I think, really interesting insight into what the Eagles and the Chiefs want to do. That's next, M&P.
Supposed to be 1-2-3, not 1-2 back to 1.